So excited to get the opportunity to talk to Wayne.
101 WIXX, your home for the Packers Radio Network. Time to break down the game with Murphy, Katie, Nick, and the voice of the Green Bay Packers, Wayne Larrabee.
And this one carrying into the end zone about 4 yards deep. Here comes Dixon to the 5. Left hash marks 10, 15. Hits a hole hard. He's to the 25, 30. Breaks into the clear. Keyshawn Nixon is off to the races. It's Secretary into the Belmont. Down the stretch they come. No one will catch him. It is a touchdown. It is a 104-yard touchdown for Keyshawn Nixon. My goodness.
Wayne Larrabee, you threw the dagger with basically an entire quarter to play as they scored early in the fourth quarter. But you might as well have tossed it there because the Pack never trailed following that 105-yard kickoff return for a TD. And that was an absolute rear-end kicking in a game the Packers not only needed to have to continue their postseason hopes, but needed to make that statement, I think, to everybody, including themselves. And they did it in spectacular fashion.
Yeah, most impressive victory of the season, I think. You know, when you consider the opponent and you consider what was at stake, this team is, Larry keeps saying, they're one of the ascending teams in the league. And, you know, you looked at the first three wins and you said, well, you know, there's Chicago there and the opponents weren't the best as they started building the streak. Then the Miami game, and that was nice to get that win on the road. But this game against Minnesota, this was really, I agree with you, Nick, this was the statement that said, hey, this is really an ascending team and a dangerous team heading toward the playoffs.
Okay, so this is my question, though, like the let's get real part of it. Did we dominate because we were that good, or did Minnesota just not care as much?
Well, you know, the problem with football is that when you're not scoring, you know what I mean, a lot of points, or doing some, spectacular things on defense, it looks like, you don't want it enough.
But, yeah.
Marv Levy told me that a long time ago, and I think it's true. In order to look like that to a layman, you got to be scoring and jumping around and doing all this other stuff. Otherwise, you look lethargic, and that just is the fact. But I think the Packers won this game because they were the better team, and they were the better team that day, and they proved it in spades. And it wasn't a bad. The Vikings had a lot to play for. Don't forget, Philadelphia had lost earlier. The Vikings had a chance for the number one seed. Had they won that game, but didn't, and the Packers are a big reason why.
So I know we like to do just one week at a time. I've been a firm believer, though, in like when you are the number one seed, number two seed, whatever, the best thing to happen to you is to have a jarring loss like that happen to you before you go into the playoffs, because it's like, all right, you guys, we were resting on our laurels. Let's kick our butts into gear. That being said, are you a little more concerned that it's going to be a completely different Vikings team that we may see in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's quite possible that could happen. But here is the concern for Minnesota. They won 11 one-score games, okay? They've been blown out 4 times. And, now when you start thinking about who blew them out, okay, Philadelphia on the road. Well, Philadelphia's been the best team in the NFC all season. Dallas beat them in Minneapolis, beat them bad. Detroit beat them on the road, beat them bad. And then in Green Bay, the Packers handled them. I mean, this is a team with a minus point differential that has 12 wins. That's never happened in the history of the NFL. So if I'm the Vikings now, I start to wonder about, well, everybody said that, they couldn't trust us because we win these close games. The fact is they're a team going into the playoffs, and I've been there before, I've seen it, where you can beat anybody in the league, but anybody, and I mean anybody, can beat you and beat you bad. When you get into the playoffs, you're not playing anybody. You're playing really good teams.
That's what's so exciting about the ascension, as you mentioned, Wayne. The Packers' D is especially looking like the defense we thought it was going to be all season, just a dominant defense. Better late than never, because they absolutely showed up. And now the takeaways, Wayne, you mentioned that all season long, that was one of the biggest things lacking on the defense, were the takeaway. They're coming in bunches now, and it's just sick. It's pick sixes. It's fumbles. It's everything. They just look completely different than they did midway through the season.
Yeah, and it started long before this streak. In the last 9 games, I believe they have 15 interceptions, and that's huge. I mean, when you think about it, and I understand people were saying, "Well, Tua must have been concussed when he threw those interceptions to Miami." Well, maybe not. And by the way, no one is saying Kirk Cousins was concussed. He threw 3 interceptions the other day, right?
Yeah.
So people are making excuses, but the fact is, the Packers are playing their best football right now. And what was impressive about this ball game, guys, And what has been interesting about this entire run is that, you know, Sunday, all three phases contributed. All three scored, okay? That hardly ever happens, especially with the Packers. Secondly, in this streak, remember 2010, it was quarterback-driven. It was Aaron Rodgers playing at an extremely high level. Remember 2016, run the table. What was that? Aaron Rodgers playing the best football of his life in that eight-game winning streak. What is it today? Well, the Aaron is not posting big numbers in the streak, right? I mean, he hasn't had 100 passer ratings since earlier in the season. It's been, I think, 21 games since he threw for 300 net yards in a game. This is a whole different animal that we're looking at right now. The Packers winning these games without a dominant performance by their quarterback. He's been good, and he's leading, and he's doing other things, but they're getting it done in other ways rather than just Aaron Rodgers loading up and throwing for 300 yards.
Yeah, they're so efficient, Wayne. Again, the efficiency of that offense showing in that game. They weren't the greatest offensive explosion you've ever seen, but they had sustained drives, most notably that grind out, which was basically the entire second half of the third quarter into the fourth quarter, and they just owned the time of possession in that second half and ground it out. Good old-fashioned, cold-weather, Lambeau Field football, and they executed brilliantly.
And it's exactly what they did in Miami, guys. They were trailing in Miami at halftime. They were trailing in all those statistics you just mentioned, Nick. And they took over the second half. Now, the turnovers helped in Miami. But here, against you're exactly right, against Minnesota, that second half dominance, they were on the wrong end of the play chart and the wrong end of time of possession at halftime. And yet the second half was so dominant with those long drives, Nick, that they finished up with almost a 9-minute advantage in time of possession for the game. So, you know, this has been a really interesting team to follow and to see how they're evolving. But you look at the yardage numbers, 163 yards rushing, 159 yards passing, basically, or 168 yards passing. So, you know, when you look at those numbers, they're getting balance on their offense. But here's the thing that was interesting to me. They're leading 17-3, all right, about midway, through the second quarter. And I'm sitting there saying, well, the Vikings have them. I said it on the air. The Vikings have them exactly where they want them. Okay, this is Minnesota to a T.
Right.
This is what they've been doing all year. And the Packers, I said, you know, if the Packers would just score an offensive touchdown, they'll blow these guys out. And that's exactly what happened.
I loved how you kept referencing that one because you're right. That's a team that has all the confidence in the world to come back down 33-0 against Indy. They've come back plenty of times this year, and they've made it happen for themselves. A lot of confidence and certainly a ton of playmakers on that offense for Minnesota, which is why I think, sort of to Katie's point, did they play poorly or did the Packers play well? I guess we don't exactly know, but at some point you have to say the Packers made things really uncomfortable for a group of guys who offensively can certainly pour it on you at any moment.
You know, guys, I want to make this point. In the first game, there was one sack and 8 quarterback hits, but you never got the feeling that Kirk Cousins was ever uncomfortable behind center, okay? Never uncomfortable in the pocket in game one. This game, very similar. 2 sacks, 8 quarterback hits, but you got the feeling the pressure was there all day, and it was just relentless, and he was never comfortable in the pocket. And that pressure precipitated a couple of off-target throws. Secondly, and we have to make sure we mention this, Justin Jefferson came into the game. He's the best receiver in pro football today, right now, okay? Just look at the numbers, all right? He came in averaging 11.6 targets per game. Sunday, he had 5 targets, 1 catch, 15 yards. It's kind of like, you know, Nick, when you play basketball, how do you play defense? You try to deny your man an opportunity with the ball. Just cover him so they can't get the ball to him. That's exactly what the Packers did, in Jair Alexander in particular, with Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, he was spectacular. He backed up all the talk. You know, when you talk and then you can back it up on the field, it's pretty awesome. Well, you know, it sets up an incredible night, obviously, against the Lions coming up, so we'll talk about that. But before we do, I want to make sure we address something that everybody is going through this morning as a fan of the NFL, certainly to a lesser degree as what the Hamlin family is going through, the Buffalo Bills family is going through, Cincinnati Bengals, and all of the National Football League. Wayne, we saw something last night in DeMar Hamlin collapsing on the field, requiring CPR, being carted off after an extended break in a game now being postponed until the details emerge on what's going to happen with it. It goes without saying it's uncharted territory for us viewers and for the NFL as a whole, and certainly for you. This really hits everybody hard as a fan of the National Football League.
Oh, it really does. I mean, you feel, obviously, for the young man, you pray for his recovery. You know, I understand it was a cardiac arrest-type situation. They, fortunately, with the medical people, they were able to revive him, get him in an ambulance, get him to a hospital just 2 miles away. But, you know, you saw, and folks, if you've ever been in an NFL locker room, even 2 hours before a game, it's a very solemn place. These players understand what they're going into. This is a dangerous sport. This is a sport also that danger and that risk, I think, binds some of these players, a lot of these players, together. Because, you know, this is, in the end, it's a brotherhood. Are they trying to beat each other? Yeah, they're trying to win the game. But in the end, they're all in this game together. And it's a brotherhood. And you could see the anguish on the faces of players on both teams. You know, and I felt it as a fan watching it, and I just kept praying, you know, that hopefully he'll be revived, he'll be okay, they'll eventually get him taken care of, you know, that kind of thing, and hopefully that'll be the case. He's still in critical condition, but my goodness, you saw in that moment last night what this league is all about. The players, the solidarity we talk about, it's not a union thing, it's a personal thing, it's a human thing. And they're all in this together. They're trying their best to beat the other guy. But when it comes right down to it, they're in the same game, and they're all human beings, and they all care about each other. And boy, that was tough to see.
Yeah, they lay it out on the field. But as was said extensively by any number of the folks who were covering it last night, they all expect to go home to their families at the end of the ballgame. And so what was always, it's just a game, it's not life or death, became quite literally life and death on the football field last night. And
I think the teams deciding not to continue to play was the right thing at that moment.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You know, let's get this thing sorted out. Let's hope he recovers and it will have a life, and we'll go from there.
We'll talk about the... Oh, I'm sorry, Katie. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I said it earlier that, you know, you try to find positives of things. And I think one of the positives, though, is for what happened. He was, aside from literally in a hospital room, he was in the best place possible. That they were there, that people reacted quickly and were able to help him as soon as possible.
Doctors on both sidelines, doctors upstairs. There were a lot of medical people there. The teams, every stadium is prepared for this kind of thing. They hope it never happens, but they're prepared for it. And I think you're right, Katie. He was in the best place possible for this to happen. If this happened to him maybe somewhere else on the street or whatever, they may not have been able to save him.
Packers-Lions coming up on Sunday night. We're going to reload and talk with Wayne about what's going to be the biggest game that nobody saw coming, maybe, except inside of that locker room. Coming up next, Talking Football with Wayne Larrabee on IX.
Back to Talking Football on the Murphy in the Morning Show on WIXX.
Out of the shotgun with a setback to his right. Here's the snap to Kirk Cousins. He fires it over the middle, and it's broken up incomplete. Intercepted on the deflection. Picked off by Darnell Savage down the left side of the 40. He's got an escort to the 20. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Green Bay Packers. My goodness.
It was that kind of day all around. Absolutely great day for the Green Bay Packers. And Wayne, I know I say it on the air quite a bit, and I've said it to you in person. Not just blowing smoke, but we were driving back from Florida, listening to all of the NFL games, as many as we could get, the play-by-play, to not only pass the time, but just to keep involved and keep our finger on the pulse of everything that had to happen. And we are very fortunate to have you and Larry on the call. It was great to listen to you guys that entire ball game. So much fun to go back and forth between your broadcast, and then we would go to the Vikings broadcast. And it was just great. You guys had a fantastic call. And the environment, the atmosphere of that game was so incredible, from the fans that you could hear coming through the microphone, phones, all the way through to the Packers performance inspired from the opening kickoff. We got one more to go, Wayne. We kept saying it. I'm not asking you to win two in a row, three in a row, four in a row, five in a row. Just win one, and that's all they've got to do to make the postseason this year.
Yeah, you think about it and where they came from. They're trying to become only the second team that started a season 4-8 to make it to the playoffs. And those two previous teams, Carolina and the San Diego Chargers, both did it by winning their division, okay? So they did it when their entire division had a bad year. But the Packers are trying to do it as a wild card. That's hard to do. That's never been done, as far as I can tell, of a team that started 4-8 or worse to make it to the wild card playoffs. And The Packers can do it. They're in control of their own destiny. It's an amazing thing when you think about it.
It's exactly what the NFL envisioned, too, when they started doing the scheduling the way they
do. Oh, yes.
So now you got your division opponent, you got the Lions, and it could be, depending on what happens with the Seahawks earlier in the day, could be a winner-take-all scenario, and it just sets up beautifully. You couldn't write a script better than this with Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers, everything they went through, and now Lambeau Field for a chance to go.
Yeah, I mean, it sets up beautifully, doesn't it? And now all the Packers have to do is finish it with a win. I mean, that's the hard part, guys. I mean,
I know,
the setup is great. The Christmas tree is up there. Now you got to get presents.
Absolutely, and you know the Lions are going to be hungry for a lot of reasons, and it could be all the reasons when they roll into town. Yeah. It's a football team that's putting up a lot of points again, Wayne. They just look like an offensive juggernaut, and now defensively they seem to figure some things out from time to time. It's not an easy walkover game like it used to be with, it's the Lions at Lambeau.
No, not at all. And I believe there was a winner-take-all Packers Lions game, if I'm not mistaken, maybe in 2016 when the Packers were able to win the last week of the season, get to the playoffs. But at any rate, whether I'm accurate on that or not, you'd have to look it up. But the fact is, yeah, get a win and you're in. The Packers are playing with a lot of confidence. Both teams are better than when they met back earlier in the season. And in that game in Detroit, the Packers just kind of gave it to them with two turnovers in the red zone. And the Packers moved the ball up and down the field against Detroit that day. Almost 400 yards of offense, but the turnovers just killed him.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing a great game Sunday night. As I said, doesn't get any better than this, Wayne. We're looking forward to hearing your call. Thanks so much for being with us this morning and putting that off an extra day so we could talk to you today on a Tuesday. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Happy New Year to everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much, Wayne. Let's go. Let's go. One to go, Wayne.
Go get him.
You got it.